time for Studio 2009's podcast approach.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome to Studio 2009. I am, of course, Steve G and Mike. Joining me is, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
And because this is episode 10, this is our very first podcast approach guest appearance. You would have heard mine and Steve's version of podcast approach in episode 5 of the podcast. But we are here with the one, the only, the not-so-simplistic reviewer, Mr. DJ Valentine. Hello, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing today? Always a pleasure recording with you gents. On top of that, I owe Steve big time for all the ridiculous, insane stuff I've forced him at gunpoint to do for our show. So thank you.
Yay! Don't tell me.
I think I've listened to 85 cuts of Steve doing Kermit the Frog, laughing to myself like a madman in a coffee shop.
Or like Elmo.
Or Elmo, or Casey Kasem. I've heard them all. I've heard them all multiple times.
I gotta say though that last one was pretty good with all the different Muppets and.
I love it so much.
Sesame Street.
Did I tell you how I came up with the idea for that? What Steve is we did a sketch for our show, the Simplistic Reviews podcast, where we made Sesame Street mixed with Goodfellas. So we just made them all gangsters. I was watching some documentary on Lucky Luciano. I was like, you know what? This is very similar to kind of the breakdown of the Sesame Street gang. You know, I just kind of ran from there. I was like, damn it, I need a Kermit the Frog. I know a guy who can do Kermit the Frog really, very well.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun though to sit there and do that. And also, when I saw the script, and I'm like, hey, I can do an Elmo, too.
When you said that, I was like, thank God, because I was going to do Elmo. I was like, my Elmo's okay. But then I heard yours. I was like, okay, perfect. That's one less thing I have to worry about. Thank God, because it was like 35 Muppets on that sketch that I had to find.
Well, and it's funny, because I used to do that voice for my kids when they had this Elmo Goes to the Bathroom book. And I was like, okay, this book is so boring for me. Like, and I had to spice it up. I was like, okay, Elmo's going to talk for the whole book because I can't. I'm like, I can't read this like and not be deadpan with it.
Elmo goes to the bathroom. Elmo picks up the toilet seat. Just read it just like that, like you're doing the news.
Or reading it like Casey Kasem.
First he lifted the toilet seat, and then he flushed everything down.
I remember for that sketch, we did it before the Fox Disney merger or whatever. And you were like, I read it two different ways, one normal and one where Casey Kasem. You pick which one. I'm like, there's no way I'm not using your Casey Kasem. Why would you give me the other one? What's the purpose of this?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun too. So anytime you need me, I'm available.
Oh, thank you. Trust me, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to hold you to that.
So for podcast approach, ladies and gentlemen, we have, it's 27 now, it was 26, but we have 27 questions that we will be asking guests from getting started to listening to producing, all that good stuff. And getting started as podcasters, when did you discover podcasts and what was the first one you listened to?
When did I discover podcasts? I think it was Doug Loves Movies was the first one I listened to. I think I listened to that while I was in film school. I think that was the first time I sat down and listened to a podcast because there was a lot of downtime. I went to a Full Sail University, which is a 24-hour school.
Oh, wow.
So you'll have a class at 1 a.m. and then you'll have a class at 4 a.m. or something like that. Your schedule fluctuates varying semesters. So if I had a lab at 4 a.m. and had a class at 1 a.m., the classes are usually 2 hours. So I had like an hour to kill. I was like, I got to do something. Instead of going home, I'm just going to be sitting on the campus. I got to do something because at 3 a.m. there's nothing open. I would just go to the lounge, pop on a podcast, and just wait for the lab to start. And I think Doug Loves Movies with Doug Benson was the first one I listened to.
Awesome. How long after you started listening did you want to start your own podcast?
What, you know what's funny? The idea for us to have a podcast came from Matthew Stewart, one of my co-hosts on the Simplicity Review podcast, because we were right after I graduated. I went to school with one of my other co-hosts, Justin Palizzi, and he wanted to make a website where we do one-word reviews of movies and we can expand if we want to. And Matt thought, hey, why don't we just every month do a show, kind of like us talking, because we always used to have conversations. And I was like, eh, I don't know, it's podcasting. I mean, we're what? Well, whatever. I'm not, you know, the analytical. I mean, I can get analytical, but I want it to be more fun than that. And then we kind of brainstormed on how it would be. But it was never my intention. I was going to write stuff for the website. And Matt kind of convinced us to do it. And we've not turned back since.
That's very cool. I feel like Matt should be here at this point for these questions. What was your plan in getting your podcast off the ground?
Oh, no. Initially I was against it, but once we did like the first episode, I was hooked. I was like, oh God, this is great. Because it was essentially us conversations we were always having, but we were just recording it and putting it out there and being humorous. And our plan to get it off the ground, that varied. I mean, initially we've always wanted to make it not a normal movie analytical podcast. We always wanted to make it one, fun. We never wanted to make it like, you know, I want to say boring. I just want to say dry would be the word I'm looking for. So it's kind of escalated from then, but we wanted to get it out there to as many people as possible. But a lot of the outlets of doing it was kind of, hey, why don't we put it on YouTube? Hey, why don't we put it on iTunes? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do it? It's always like a brainstorming session with the three of us. We're kind of like three parts of one mind when it comes to that show.
Okay, Hal.
Sorry, Dave. Dave.
Which do you prefer, audio or video podcasting as a fan and as a producer?
We just started doing videos podcasting for our movie commentaries, Netflix parties. Mm-hmm. I'm not I prefer audio because when I as Steve knows, when we do the sketches, our show kind of has sketches on there. I like theater of the mind. It gives me more creation. You know, when you're seeing my ugly mug and we're talking, you know, kind of like, okay, I'm just watching these guys watch a movie. But if you can, when you're doing the podcast, I can create whatever environment. I could have Casey Kasem talking to Kermit. I can do whatever the hell I want when it's just audio. Exactly. When it's video, I'm limited into what I can actually do. When it's a movie commentary, we do it for movie commentaries because it's just the three of us sitting down watching a movie. But when it's the show itself, I would never want to do this our podcast visually. I'd always want to do it audio wise.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm way too ugly for video. I just am.
I got a face for radio. How about that?
Yep.
All righty. So it's my turn to grill DJ.
I feel like I'm getting interrogated. Okay, where were you on the night of September 5th?
Tell me where you were, see? What kind of setup did you have when you started podcasting, and what do you use now?
I almost am afraid to listen to the earlier episodes because I just had a MacBook Pro. I didn't have a mic. I was using the mic from the laptop. So I can only imagine how echoey. Though I don't remember because I edited all the shows. I don't remember it. I think the MacBook Pro's mic was pretty good when we started because it was a brand new laptop. But now I have like a mic and I'm using now or whatnot, and it was very rudimentary. It's not as I want to say professional. It's not as, you know, set up as most podcasts. I like being comfortable. So like right now I'm lying on my bed as I do a podcast. I've always done that where I just set up everything on the I would never like sit at a desk and do a podcast because it feels too, I don't know, stifling to me. I always want to be like completely relaxed because when I'm completely relaxed, the comedy comes a little quicker than I'm taking a test. If I'm sitting at a desk, it feels like I'm being, you know, graded or something like that.
I can say to that point, you know, Steve and I have been doing this for a long time at this point.
Right.
But over the last 6 months since I've sort of been semi-retired, retired, whatever, where we're only doing X number of shows in the interim, I hate podcasting in bed. I want my desk. I want my keyboard. I want my monitor. I want my mouse. I want to be able to. No, absolutely. But like now that I've experienced it, I'm like, this is just horrible. Anyway.
Well, I see, I have a setup. Like I have this monstrous desk that we bought from a Facebook marketplace thing that my wife found, and it's like $200 is what she paid for it, and the thing goes for like $2,000, and it is a monster. But anyways, I have my multi-monitor set up here and my microphone boom arm that's attached to the desk, and so it's literally right in front of my face now, whereas before I had to lower my chair so my face was even with the stand that held the mic that was on my desk, and it would pick up all kinds of other residual background noise. But yeah, I mean, it's I pretty much have to stay at my computer at my desk, because if I don't and I get comfortable, I fall asleep.
I like podcasting during the day because I don't mind podcasts. I can podcast whenever, but you're right. Because I'm on a bed most of the time, if the show is kind of like, usually it never happens on our show because we're very upbeat. But if I'm on another show and it's like a long show, sometimes I'm like, okay, I gotta slap my face a little bit to make sure I don't, because I'm in the most comfortable. Because I'm 6'2". So I have kind of like back issues. So if I'm sitting in a chair at a desk doing a podcast for plus 2 hours, I'm going to be like doing this a lot. You don't want to hear that on a mic. So if I'm if I'm comfortable, I can podcast for, I mean, some of the podcast, the shows that we do, I edit them down to about an hour and 50 minutes, but they're usually 3 hours long.
Yeah, and that's usually how it goes.
Right. We're talking. We do the show in the middle, and then we're talking.
Yeah.
So since we were kind of talking about gear and how we like to podcast in relaxing or non-relaxing ways, as far as your headphones and your microphones, if any of it's, I don't know if you've experienced them breaking during your podcast duration, but do you usually buy the same exact setup or do you upgrade to something totally different?
I was using the MacBook Pro initially to do the recordings, and I wanted to get a mic, and I got a Blue Yeti just because I went to the Apple store and I was like, okay, let me try what this is. And I've not had, knock on as much wood as I can find, I've not had one single problem with it. And I'm of the school of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I think the qualities of the audio quality of our show has been, I mean, at least to my standards, superb. If somebody gave me a better microphone, like a Sennheiser or something like that, I'm not going to say no. But I mean, I have not, again, I'm knocking on wood, had any problems with that. I've had headphone issues because headphones are literally designed to break. Yeah, they're literally designed to break. So I use AirBuds now, or AirPods, whatever the hell you want to call those things right now, just so I can have full range of motion when I'm, again, lying on my bed doing the podcast. But yeah, the mic-wise, Blue Yeti, anybody ever tells me when they're starting what to get, I always say, yeah, Blue Yeti. I have the big one, and I see it everywhere. It's probably the most common one I've seen on other people's digital podcasts, like Comic Book Girl 16 or 13, whatever, she uses that, and a lot of podcasters use that on YouTube or whatever, content creators. It's a great mic. I've not had any issues, so I would say go with that. I would go with that one.
See, I've noticed that a lot of people use the XLR or the more advanced stuff, and they it's that elitist thought. When I say that with like quotes around my hands, because you don't need anything super fantastic. But I think that they kind of lead everybody to believe they do. I have the Yeti as well, and I've had it since, I don't know, 2011. And
it's like a Honda Civic. It's like it's the most dependable, again, knock on wood, dependable mic I've ever, I mean, it does exactly what I think we need. Anything more than that is kind of leaning into overkill.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing like a studio, you're making it for like Spotify or some XM radio or something. But for the ways we're doing a podcast where it's kind of, you know, we're kind of independent podcasting type, I think we're batting a high batting average with a Blue Yeti.
Yeah, see, I have the boom arm, I have the shock mount, the windscreen, and the pop screen filter on it, so it's all, like, decked out. But, I mean, if I was going to get a new one, I would probably get, there's the AT2020. It supports, like, USB and USB-C, and it's a little bit more compact. But, honestly, like, the biggest issue is it's soundproofing.
Yeah, right. Soundproofing is a pain in the butt.
Go ahead.
No. I mean, especially because a lot of our show, maybe 40% of our show, is sketches. So we have to, or when I'm doing them, I'm editing them together, I'm like doing a lot of editing to make the sound the way I want. Like I just did I did a 2001 sketch last night. And I was doing the Dave voice, and I have to be very proficient in noise cancellation and Audacity and Final Cut, getting the messing around with audio. But just to record a podcast when it's just, you know, talking about a movie, you don't have to worry about all the other stuff. Yeah, I would go with what you're going with. But thankfully, I was taught how to do a lot of, I want to say, finagling with audio in terms of, you know, sometimes I got a hissing noise. I got to get rid of that. I got to learn how to get rid of that stuff. That would hurt a sketch. It probably wouldn't hurt a show. But for me, if I'm trying to recreate a scene in a movie, I want it to sound exactly how it sounds.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to make sure I know how to do all that. I call it finagling, but it's essentially just editing. Audio editing.
Awesome. So do you think you'd be podcasting for as long as you have so far?
Yeah. Only reason I say that is because, one, like I said before, I never had any intention, and then I did it and I was hooked and I love doing it. And like, it's almost the one true creative outlet that I have, where it's like, you know, I could be sitting down one day, come up with an idea, contact Steve and say, hey, look, do me a favor. I want Kermit the Frog to say yippee-ki-yay. And I have created something out of thin air that is, to me, very amusing. And it gives our show some sort of uniqueness. It's such a rewarding experience. And, you know, it's not like doing the show was a burden. It's very, very fun to do the show every time you get to do it.
Right. What you really want Steve to say is, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Mr. Falcon.
Yeah, that skit was actually one of my favorites, too.
Yippee-ki-yay!
I had John McClane played by Kermit the Frog on a sketch, and I said, yeah, I need... usually it's me writing Steve with a really weird request, like, hey, how's your Kermit the Frog? Hey, could you say yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, as Kermit the Frog? And then it'll be like, okay. And that's kind of how the conversation goes.
Well, it's,
but yeah, just to pull that out of nothing and then create something that, to me, I go back and listen to that sketch a lot. And it's like, it's just funny to me. It's so, to me, it's a rewarding thing where I would not want to ever stop doing it because it's fun. It's never like, oh man, I gotta go do a podcast today. It's always fun to talk about something that I'm super interested in and that I have a hand in helping create.
Oh yeah, totally. I personally love podcast skits. And my first introduction to that was when This Week in Geek used to have a guy named David Double D Dennis on their program, and he used to do these weird sketches, like, and he would do all the impressions himself, and it was quite humorous how they would all come together. I'll have to send those to you sometime because some of them are quite hilarious. Before I created a lot of the shows that are in collaboration with Mike on Geekcast Radio, I used to be like a super fan, so I would do a mega cut of everything this guy did into like one episode, and it's hilarious to listen to, actually.
I used to listen to this guy. I'm in Florida, and there was this guy. He was originally lived in Florida, but he moved to Canada, but he always broadcast in Florida. It's like one of the major influences of our sketches. His name was Neil Rogers, and he would always come, like, it was a radio show, a talk radio show or whatever, and he'd talk about everything, but before his intros and outros between his segments were sketches, and they would range from Mickey Mouse sketch, which I've kind of done as an ode to him, or a SpongeBob sketch, or a Michael Eisner sketch. He would always have these little funny sketches, intro and outro. And I was like, you know what? When we started doing the show, we didn't initially have sketches. And then I think we took a long break. And then I did a Jeff Goldblum sketch. And it just caught on after there. And I was like, yeah, I want to do it just like that. It kind of gives us and that stuff right there, to me, I think when we started doing that is when I was like, this is something I don't want to stop doing. I want to do more of it. If it was up to me, I'd be doing a show a week, though it takes a little longer to put those shows together. But it's just not anything but fun for me.
Awesome.
Whatever you do, folks, don't ever ask DJ to do an Owen Davian sketch, because it'll scare the crap out of you.
I think I did that for your. I did that for Mike one time. I don't even remember the context when I was doing Owen.
We were doing I think it was MYR episode 120 or something or other. We were doing Mission Impossible or whatever. We were doing those reviews, and I'm like, who do I know that can do?
Yeah, you know. Mike did the what I did to Steve. Mike did to me. Which is like, hey, how's your Owen Davian? You doing Owen Davian? I'm like, you know, wife or girlfriend. I can do it anytime you want. I can do it all night. So he's just cool. So I don't even remember the context. I'm just like, well, I have it here. Here you go. I don't know what you're going to use it for.
That's super creepy. It sounds like the guy from Hannibal. Put the lotion in the basket.
Like, you meet Ted Levine, you big, great, big, fat person. Yeah, that's the Buffalo Bill you're thinking of.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the name.
It's between Owen Davian and Tom Segura, put it in your pocket, and Buffalo Bill. They're all in the same kind of general area.
May Philip Seymour Hoffman rest in peace.
Oh, wow. So, Mike, go ahead and take away with the next one, because I think we kind of got a little bit of the other question that was on mine.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about your podcast listenership and get your listening habits. As a listener, what defines a good podcast to you?
Keeping me entertained. The only thing I don't like about a podcast is if... some of the podcasts I listen to, if I hear one person who's super engaged and the other person's kind of like, yeah, like not like it's almost like a game of tennis to me. When I'm editing our podcast, I always try and get rid of dead air as much as possible. So when you ever hear the show, I try and make it invisible. But sometimes, like, I'll say a question, because as we're doing this show, I don't know these questions ahead of time. When we do games, it's I don't tell Matt and Justin anything of what we're doing until we do it on the show live. So if there's a game, they don't know what game it is until I say it. If there's a question, they don't know. And sometimes I'll say something and they'll be like, what? And I have to edit that out. I don't like any – I want it all to be rapid. So if I'm listening to a podcast where somebody's playing tennis and the other person's not serving it back, that bothers me. I like it when they're – you can see two people who have – podcasting is chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
And when you got somebody who you know you got a good partner and you're talking to them and you're talking back, I can listen to anybody talk about anything. It could be any subject. It could be the Bechdel test. It could be the Cinephiles. It could be any show where the two hosts have that chemistry where I'm not sitting in nothingness or one guy's enthusiastic, the other guy doesn't care. I can't stand I don't care either. When somebody goes, what do you think about this? I don't know. I don't care. I kind of like, well, then why the hell am I listening to you, man? If you don't care, then I should just go to a podcast where somebody does care, because I tuned in because I want people to care about the thing that I tuned in to listen to. So yeah, those are the things that I look for.
Not gonna lie, that's happened a couple times to us. We were like talking about something.
It happens to everyone. It's just, you know,
if I get stuck on a recording where they're talking about, for example, have nothing against the franchise or anything like that, but for example, Dragon Ball Z, I check out and I go on mute and I'll go to the bathroom, or I'll go on mute and go get something to drink or something, because I have nothing to contribute to that conversation.
Usually my negative Nancy, if it's a subject I don't like, I use it as a pivot to, like, if somebody starts talking, I think I was talking to a friend of mine, Jay Cluett, and he was like, hey, we want to do a podcast on Deep Blue Sea. And I fucking hate Deep Blue Sea. So I'm like, I really hate that movie, but I'll do it because you're just going to be, I'll be the point counterpoint. I'll just be essentially going, yeah, this movie sucks. This is a horrible movie.
That's the best counterpoint ever. Yeah, this movie sucks.
This movie's horrible.
So why did you make this movie? It sucks.
It's horrible. But if it's something that I don't like, I usually use it as a pivot to at least engage in a conversation. I don't want to ever be on a podcast and not be giving my all to the host. Somebody has asked me to be on a show, even if I don't like the subject they're talking about, I try to do my best to make sure that they have something to work with in terms of my response. Because if I'm just going, yeah, I don't know, what is something you can do with that?
You're like, peace out.
But if,
man,
I go, you know what, this is bad because of this, or I think it's bad because of this, and blah 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 blah, blah, blah. And even if I'm completely incorrect, I think we did the White Knight discussion, which I was not a fan of the White Knight, and everybody else, I think Dan was a fan of it completely.
Yeah,
and
I could have just
been like, yeah, I don't like the White Knight. But I didn't do that. I was like, you know what? I'll tell you why I don't like the White Knight. I'll explain to you why my reasons for, and I will counterpoint everything Dan says. But Dan is super smart, so it's very difficult for me to beat him in a debate. But it's essentially, I don't want to check out of a show. I always want to be engaged in engagement is what I try and do.
Now, you do realize once that eventually does hit trade paperback, you are going to have to be on Curse of the White Knight, right?
Sure.
Because
you need somebody that's counterpoint.
I'd be in the back. I'd be in the back with my arms folded, like, yeah.
Mike's gonna come after me at that point. He's gonna be like, okay. He's gonna do a less maniacal version of Mark Hamill's Joker. Okay.
I don't like this White Knight you're talking about.
This White Knight is full of crap.
Crap, Batsy.
As a listener, do you prefer short 30-minute to an hour or an hour and a half shows, or do you prefer longer podcast episodes, as in 2 hours or more?
I'm old, so I don't have affliction of ADD that a modern society has, and I use this to everything in terms of entertainment. If it's good, I don't give a damn how long it is. I'm like, oh, the Avengers Endgame is too long. Avengers Endgame could have been 3 straight days, and I would have sat there and watched it because it was good. If it's bad, end it immediately. But if it's good, I don't care how long it is. I get pissed off. Like, what podcast I was listening to, I think it was The Cinephiles, and they were talking about, I forget, it was some movie. It might have been a movie I liked. I think it might have been, let's say it's St. Elmo. It was Chariots of Fire, I think it was. And they were discussing it, and the discussion was so good, but they were like, well, we got to wrap up. And I'm like, no, I can listen to you guys talk about this subject forever. I'm the minority, because I know a lot of people are like, hey, get this over with. Because essentially, if you're making something good, I want it to continue. It's a, if I get a piece of cake and it tastes good and I'm not full, keep giving me cake.
That's right.
I don't want the cake to stop. But again, I know people, in terms of editing and presentation, you want to have it a good, crisp, a set amount of time. You don't want to go over 3 hours or 2 hours or whatever. I just say, if you're going to have that time, make sure you're making it good. If you're going to do Lord of the Rings 4-hour cut, make sure those 4 hours are chock full of goodies. If our show is long and personal wise, like when we did our anniversary special, I'm like, well, I'm going to, instead of writing one sketch, I'm going to write 5 sketches, because I want to make sure that if we're going to go this amount of time, I want to make sure that they're getting what they paid for. They're not going to check out. So
absolutely.
I'd rather it be long than short, but that's me. I'm minority.
I remember when I first started listening, and I mentioned this back on episode 5 of this show, that when I first started, I was checking out for my local radio program in Boston that I used to listen to as a kid. And then I went and found other things. And one of the things I found was two guys reviewing every single episode of the entire DC Animated Universe, including Teen Titans, sadly. But hey, it got their show to 100 podcasts, whatever, because Teen Titans is not in continuity. Anyway, but they would record anywhere from an hour and a half to sometimes almost 3 hours. They would do 5 episodes of like Batman the Animated Series, 5 reviews in one podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, cool. I can listen to this all day long. So I am more so in the camp of an hour, 2 hours. Okay, 3 hours. Okay, whatever. For the guy that did that show, the main guy that hosted that show, Michael David Sims on Earth2.net, he has a main show of his network called Earth2.net, The Show. Mm-hmm. It is the only podcast I have ever seen since I've known about podcasts that has reached 1,000 episodes.
Oh, wow.
For their 1,000th episode, which I have never listened to, and I need to go back and do so, I don't even know. I know it's a bunch of things in it for their 1,000th episode. It's 24 hours long.
Woo. Marathon.
I don't know how they did it. I mean, you can listen to it like an hour a day. You can, you know, pull a 24 where it's, you know, this hour to this hour, and then, you know, but, you know, I don't know. I always like it because like you said, DJ, like, I don't want it to end. I'm listening to your show to listen to what you have to say.
Right.
And if you put, like, for me, nowadays, it's like, okay, I can do 2 hours or less, but at the same time, as a producer, I'm like, as long as we get the conversation in that as long as we get the talking points that we want to talk about, if the show ends or if Steve comes up with a Megatron Joker brainchild and says something so appalling, I'm like, okay, good night, everybody. You know, that kind of
that
thing.
That has happened.
Which it has.
Beast Unleashed podcast.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, there's times where, like, I would be guesting on the show and we're having a great discussion. And because they're stringent on time, they want to close. It's like, oh, damn. And then we would close the show, but we would keep talking. And then, like you're saying, in the conversations that we have off air, I was like, damn, I wish this was on the show because we would discover something. And
why I never, until we are ready to say, okay, guys, I will see you later or I'll talk to you tomorrow night. That is why I never stop recording, whether we're on the air or whether we're doing the show or not. That's why I always end up with extra shit so I can throw it in like an outtakes episode or something.
Yeah, we do that too. We have, because we Zoom call. So we have, usually if I'm editing a show, because in between, we have our shows that are in segments, and in between the segments, we'll kind of be like kicking around stuff before we go into the next segment. If something is really funny that we dropped or said or went on a tangent, because we tangent a lot, I would either try and work it into the show and edit it in a way where you don't know that we tangented it in, or I would just dump it in outtakes because it's so good. I don't want to lose it to the ether.
Yeah.
So, because usually every time we do anything, there's a pre-show where before we start. And then there's an after show. Like, we just finished doing our commentary. We'll talk for another 30 minutes. And in those 30 minutes on either side could be something fantastic that none of the listeners might have got a chance to hear. And that's why we just dump it in the outtakes, because that gives us just more content, essentially.
Absolutely. As a listener, do you start at the beginning of a podcast, the most recent episode, or do you jump around? Now, I know varying podcasts differ from this, but let's just say you first found Tooncast, mm-hmm. you know, are you going to start at the episode 0 where we introduce the show, or are you going to start at episode 50 where we're talking about Inspector Gadget?
I'm usually, if it's a show where it's like Tooncast, where you guys are doing different subjects, I would scroll through the subject that I think is cool or I'm interested in listening to. Like, I would probably jump around. Certain other podcasts I would listen in order. For example, like how did this get made? I'd probably listen in order. Because they have a formula essentially where it's just they're doing the same thing, but they're doing it for this movie, or they're doing the same thing, but they're doing it for that movie. But if you guys are doing a certain subject matter that I want to hear broken down, I would just jump. Well, I don't really care about that one, but I do care about that one. Let me click that one. I would, it like you're saying, it varies on the certain on the podcast that I'm listening to.
Yeah. Okay, Steve, your turn.
He's like, okay, now that I've done that. So as a listener, how many hosts are too many on one episode?
I think I'm a Dwayne Wade fan. I think the perfect number is three for everything. Three is perfect. You can get away with two. One is very tough. Four, I think, is too many. If you have three, I think that's the perfect number to try enough power. It's just a perfect, you got, you know, three different that I mean, not saying because we have three on our show, but like if I listen to, if you look at a lot of shows, how did this get made? I just came up with an example: is Paul Scheer, June Diane Rayfield, and what's his name? Great clock guy from John Wick, Chapter 3. It's always his name. Jason Mantzoukas. Sorry. The when you have the three, it's really good. When you have the two, it's gonna be very dependent on chemistry. You guys have, because it's this, to me, the I'd have to like this pair. If it's three, if somebody's not good, but I still got two to worry about that are really good. That's why I was trying to go with a three person thing. That doesn't count guests or anything. I always think that three is the perfect number.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I generally believe that as well, of having three hosts. Or, you know, you can sometimes get away with more, but often I feel like you don't necessarily get as much of a conversation point. It's more of a, all right, let's hurry up and get the next person. You know, it's
right.
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. So when do you stop listening to a podcast altogether? Like, what's something that causes you to say, okay, I'm done with this?
As in, I don't like it anymore. As in,
Or you just don't have time to listen to it anymore. Either way,
it's more of if they say something, or like if something happens on the show where you're like, oh, I don't agree with this person's opinion, I'm no longer going to interact with them, or I'm no longer going to listen to their content.
Did this spoil a lot of something that happened to us recently?
No, I actually wrote that question before, and
because I was going to say it has happened recently.
Right. It would probably take a lot. Like, I mean, sometimes I listen to I'll be scrolling through YouTube, and I'm not a big fan of a certain person's political views or views on certain subjects, but they might have a guest on I like. I use Joe Rogan, for example, where I'm not 100% eye to eye on how he thinks about things. But then if he's interviewing Mike Tyson, I'm going to watch that thing. So it's going to take a lot for me to, even if I disagree with a person, if they're doing something that I think is interesting, I'd probably still pop in. I hate Bill Maher, but sometimes if he's interviewing somebody that, like, I really respect, I would probably pop it in just to listen to the other person, how they will react to the person I do not like, or something like that. You know, it would take a lot for me to go, nah, I'm done. I don't ever want to see anything this person ever does again. It would take a lot for me to do that. I'm a little bit more forgiving in that standpoint.
It would take, the only way for me to ever watch Bill Maher ever again would be as if Robert Downey Jr. was in his suit and he was basically, you know, blasting him stage.
Yeah, when he took out Stan Lee, I was like, okay, that was the closest I came to like, I'm done with the guy. And I made a video where I was just shitting all over Bill Maher just as a catharsis. But then I was like, you know what? He had on Elizabeth Warren, I think, or some politician one time after that, like way after that. And I was like, you know what? I want to hear how this person reacts to this dick. So usually it would take a lot for me to completely cold turkey quit something if I find something that they're doing interesting. You know, it'd have to be really, really bad. So it's a rare occurrence, I would say. But I'm weird. Don't use me as a litmus.
It takes a lot for me to stop listening. More so, it's just I don't have time. That's the only thing that would stop me from listening, to be honest. Political leanings aside, I've listened to people on both sides of the fence. I used to work for one side of the fence, and honestly, I got tired of hearing a lot of it. It's a middle of the road thing for me, just common sense. But it's not one of those things that would create a problem where I would quit listening to somebody or talking to them over it. So I get it.
There are idiots out there that do their damnedest to
alienate,
you know, and I mean, I can name them. I will keep them quiet, but usually if I'm listening for something, I'm listening for
the guest
interesting.
Yeah.
I don't like this person, but is the conversation this person's going to have with this person interesting? I want to listen to it.
Yeah.
That's typically what you get with a podcast host like a Joe Rogan, where I completely don't follow his.
I don't either.
I'm a man and I hunt. I don't do all that. But sometimes he'll have interesting conversation with, as you were talking about, Robert Downey Jr. Or he'll have a conversation with, Elon Musk or a Navy SEAL who's seen shit that I want to hear about, or
right.
It's the subject matter I'm more hunting for, not the person. The person is going to have to be entertaining as hell for me to be like, I'm only watching because I love this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Besides that, Joe Rogan's a sellout. He's exclusively on Spotify. He's not technically a podcaster anymore.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
right.
Sorry, here we go.
Well, it's true.
You're not
a podcaster if you're not on every platform. then you're just a radio. You're a radio owned jockey for the company that bought you.
Yep.
Before we move on to the 15th question here, and that now that you're saying that, Steve, my first thought was that old ad. I forget if it, I think it was when they were doing the PS2. I don't know. Anyway, Sony did an ad where it was some sort of joke with them or Funny or Die, or it was with somebody, but it obviously Sony gave permission to do the ad where it was like, this is the PS9. The PS9 is plugged right into your brain. That's essentially what I want podcasting, what I want the Geekcast Radio Network to be. Basically, somebody presses a switch on their phone and it turns us on inside their head.
You see what you're doing? That is how Skynet starts. You're literally helping Skynet take over the world. You are Miles Dyson.
So, what podcasts are you currently listening to?
Oh, God, a million. top of my head, like I mentioned, a couple of them. How Did This Get Made? I listen to the Cinephiles religiously. And it matters on the day, and it's usually I'm looking for inspiration. Sometimes, for example, we just did a Luke Skywalker sketch, and it came about because the Cinephiles were talking about Return of the Jedi, and their whole, it was just a normal conversation. We're like, this doesn't really make sense, Luke's plan. It's like, oh, I should make a sketch about how ridiculous Luke's plan is. And that's usually it's that, or it's a movie that I really didn't like and I want to hear somebody discuss it. So I'll just pop around there. Or maybe it's a movie that I freaking loved and I want to hear somebody like Kevin Smith go crazy about it, or, you know. So in terms of shows, I would probably say the ones I listen to the most would probably be The Cinephiles, How Did This Get Made, because it's freaking hilarious, and I listen to a lot of mainstream ones, a lot of the main movie ones, I would say. The Bechdel
test. M-Wire.
M-Wire. Well, yeah, I mean, essentially, I'm hunting the subject. I'm hunting this. Oh, wow, they're talking about Mad Max Fury Road. I'm definitely gonna listen to this podcast. You know, it's kind of like that. So,
yeah,
I'm hunting for that. If you guys did an episode on GoBots or something, I'm definitely gonna pop that in because I want to hear what the hell you guys have to say about that. You know, I'm hunting the subject, but I do listen to, I'm a wanderer. I'm like, I can go through the top 10 podcasts for like five straight episodes, and then I'll listen to five straight episodes of mostly nitpicking, and then I'll go to the Cinephiles, and then I'll pop over to How Did This Get Made, because I have a lot of time in between, you know. Luckily, the way my life is, I have time where I can have podcasts blazing in my ear while I'm doing shit. So it helps me out a little bit.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Let's talk about podcast production. Mm-hmm. As a producer, do you find yourself listening to podcasts less and less? Obviously not.
No. More and more. More and more. I mean, I like to learn from my mistakes, and I like to see what other shows are doing that maybe we can implement, you know. I talked about how we got sketch ideas from that show. Sometimes I want to come up with ways to essentially, our show is discussing movie and entertainment news, but I want to do it in a way where it's not the typical, this was happened today in the news. I kind of want to do it in an interesting way. So sometimes I listen to how other shows do it, and I try and put a twist on it or something like that. So in terms of production, yeah, I want to listen to as many shows as possible, because I don't want to say steal their ideas. I want to say, I just want to see how other shows are doing it and see what differentiates their show from mine. I can do the same thing, but differently. And we both can be, you know, serving the same audience, essentially.
Yeah. I find that now that I'm listening more than producing currently, and I'm sorry to say, and I'm not going to say this about whatever show I'm actually saying this about, I'm like, oh, didn't we do that better already? Like, I'll hear something and I'm like, I don't like the way they framed that. I think it was done better 6 years ago.
are you talking about the Beast Wars podcast?
No, I'm not, actually.
Because nobody can beat us. Like,
nobody can beat us. Exactly. Well, yeah. Hello.
And
we had both of them. We had the real one.
I think you guys did you guys do a draft? Did you guys do a something draft? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I can't. It might have been a while back.
You're talking about the top 100?
It could have been. I know I was on I was on one of the top 100 animated movies, and we kind of came up with a segment that was kind of similar to what you guys were doing, but it was different, where we just picked. I would ask them what was the best of one thing. We wouldn't have a whole list. I would like just say a subject, like I say, hey, what's the best time travel movie? And this, they would just pick it out of the top of it. Then I go, what's the best? And I kind of got it off of just show listening to another show doing something else. That's kind of where I say, like, I try and get inspired by other stuff. And maybe there's you guys mentioned a movie that I have not heard of that would be great for us to do a commentary on, you know, stuff like that is kind of where, why I try and, I want to say, consume as much podcasts as possible.
Yeah.
So,
fall asleep over there, Megatron?
No, I just get lost because there's so many numbers.
Oh, stop it.
Keeps going, and the page never stops. As a producer, are you a one-man show kind of host, or do you prefer working with co-hosts?
Again, we talked about the chemistry. The funny thing is, I knew Matt from before I went to film school. We worked together, childcare, actually.
Oh, wow.
And we would always come off of work, and we would just be talking about movies. And then I went to college, and I met Justin, and we do the same thing. And then Matt met Justin, and we would have these conversations, and it'd be like, yeah, this is it. This is, I like this, because it's just guys on a couch talking about things that they would normally talk about. So one man show, like I said, it'd be very, very difficult. I've kicked it around in my head, but I like the tennis match. I like somebody saying, well, you're wrong because of this. I mean, it's one voice. It's very, you know, even Howard Stern has people to bounce off of. You know, the best have people, the producer sitting, you know what I'm saying? I don't like the I don't want to say the Bill Simmons approach, but I don't like the I'm the one voice God that's telling you how to think, you know, network style. I'm as mad as hell. I like somebody to make me challenge my opinion, and I challenge this back, and then now we kind of create a show.
Thank you, Morgan Freeman.
Andy Dufresne. Crawl
through. That's right.
First man, Andy Dufresne. I punched him in the throat.
So as a producer, do you feel you need a mixing board and all the fancy stuff that would essentially, I mean, I know you partially answered this about the radio station are good with just a great mic and a headphone.
Right. In terms of editing, I need the good stuff. Like we have, especially because we do the sketches and we, I mean, if it's just us talking, I probably wouldn't need all that good stuff. But I have two different editing softwares, which like Final Cut and Final Cut X, and I have Hitman Pro. I've got Adobe. Sometimes it matters what I'm doing. If I'm doing, sometimes we do. I think we did a G.I. Joe sketch, and I wanted, which I think you helped me with.
I did. Yep.
Cobra. He did Cobra Commander, and I wanted to implement the video for it. So sometimes I'll use Final Cut. But yeah, in terms of editing, I want the bells and whistles because of the what I always want to make the quality of those sketches almost freaking perfect. If it was just us talking, just recording this go. But when I'm doing a sketch or we're doing a game segment or doing something like that, especially our show, we have the robot announcer, Julie, where I have to write all her dialogue and make her stuff sound good and seamlessly fit into the show. I want all the bells and whistles I can because it just helps me. Helps me produce the show faster because and keep the quality up.
There was one point where I had a thought, and I haven't actually told you this. So this is going to be a surprise to you, where I'm like, ooh, I want to steal Julie for GCRN.
just tell me what you want her to say. I remember when we first came up with Julie, and it was, I keep bringing up Hal. We wanted to have an announcer announce the show, kind of like Saturday Night Live. That's why we have the cold open sketches. And I was like, well, I don't want to get anybody to do it. We should just have it like a Hal 9000 ode. But I was a hip hop head back in the day. So I was like, well, there was this album called Tribe Called Quest Midnight Marauders where it was a girl that would introduce segments and it was like a robot voice. And I was like, why don't we just make it like Hal mixed with that? And I was like, yeah, I'll just have her say one thing and that'll be it. And then one thing came on that we've done 140 episodes. And she's never repeated any line. I have to write her. She literally is her own person. So I have to really write all her stuff. She has intros and outros for every segment. And I have to come up with something really annoying for her to say every single time, every episode, 20 times an episode. And now Justin came up with an idea where we've started the last three episodes where it's Julie's diary, where I have to literally write, spoiler alert, Julie doesn't exist. I have to write Julie's diatribes in her diary. So that's a process. But yeah, if you need her, you know, she's always willing to help in a mean way.
Absolutely.
We use her as our check. If you ever watch or listen to her show, she only serves to insult us. She serves. She everything out of her mouth is an insult to us.
She's rude
because we use her as the people who would be critiquing our show. So
that's funny.
If you're going to insult our show, you better come up with something better than what Julie is going to say about us during the show.
I know you've mentioned the editing before, but how much time do you actually put into the editing of each episode?
We just did a show with Greg Kafar from Miscast Entertainment. We recorded it on Monday. It takes me about a day. And then usually I do things ahead of time. Like if I'm doing a sketch, or let's say I'm doing a show, like I'm preparing for a show, we record every 15th of the month and we drop it the first of the next month. So usually a show is 2 weeks old. I would get the sketches prepared way in advance. So obviously. A sketch for a show. Most likely I recorded and made that sketch maybe a year ago. The G.I. Joe sketch that I'm talking about, we still have not aired it. We just keep it. It's scheduled. It's just not been used yet. I kind of use it if I've run out of things to write. So yeah, it typically takes me a day because I have prepped everything. I've written Julie's dialogue. I've recorded Julie's dialogue. I've done the intros and outros. I've done the sketches. I've done the post stuff. I've done the music. And so when the show starts, it's just us talking, and I just got to drop that in and then edit that out, and everything is done. So that's a day. If I did it the long way where I just did everything, I'd record the show and then do the sketch and then do it would probably take me a week. So I try and stay proactive as I'm producing December's show now. August show is done. September show is done. I've already produced those shows. Other than us, the subject matter where we're talking about it live, but all the intros and outros and sketches and stuff, those are done all the way up to December. We try and do that. It saves us, or it saves me. It saves me an hour. An hour and a million hours. And I'm only the Simplistic Reviews podcast editor. Justin does the commentaries because those are formatted differently. There's less crazy production because it's essentially just us talking. There's less scripting involved. He does all that stuff. So I was like, well, Justin, you take care of the commentaries. I'll do the show because there's a lot of bells and whistles and crap and stuff. So like I said, we try and do everything ahead of time to save me time to edit. So right now I have maybe 8 sketches that have not aired that I can just, when we do the show, I can just drop in that ready to go. Because when we first started doing sketches, I used to do it the long way where, okay, we'll do the show and then we'll record the sketch. And that took freaking forever. Now I'll never do that again. So yeah.
Okay. I think I know the answer to this one, but we have to ask it anyway, because it's one of the 27 questions. As a producer, do you prefer in-person recordings over the internet versus the internet recording? So versus Skype, Zoom, etc.
You have never done a show in the same room.
Really? I've only ever done one show in the same room, and that was when I had gotten married, but yeah.
True.
I'm in Florida. Matt, who lived in Florida, moved to Tennessee, and Justin's in Palm Springs. And we've never recorded. I think the closest we ever came, we did a commentary for Hard Ticket to Hawaii, Andy Sedaris classic. I was in the room with Matt, but Justin was still in Palm Springs. So in terms of Zoom recording, Zoom was the gift from God because I prefer having everybody on a separate audio track because it gives me freedom to edit. So like if it's all mixed together, I'm kind of stuck with the conversation. But if I have Justin on a track, I'm on a track, Matt's on a track, and our guest or whatever, if we have a guest that week or month, is on a track, and there's something that the guest says, but I talked over it, I can just cut out it gives me the freedom to do that. I like the Zoom stuff, the over there. And the way I edit is that I don't want you to tell that we're not in the same room, but
exactly.
Can't really, I want it all to sound equally. Like it's kind of like I think I was talking to somebody and they thought that we did the show all in person. I wouldn't even know how to do that. I have never done a podcast in a room with 3 different people. When I was doing it with Matt, the commentary, it was weird. Cause I'm like, I don't stop looking at me. Look over there.
Yeah, exactly. I can say it's extremely strange because strange, when Steve and I did it, I'm like, you know, we're looking at each other, talking to each other, and he'll say something and I'll give him a weird look. He's like, don't look at me like that. I said what I said, you know, that kind of thing.
Man, we've done it one time and it was weird. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I theater to mind, man. Theater to mind.
I've only done it twice. I did it with Steve, like I mentioned. And I did it with, back when I was in Chicago suburbs, there was a local restaurateur, Big Ed, from Big Ed's Barbecue.
Right.
I had him over the house to do an interview about his restaurant because they do a free Thanksgiving meal for anybody that lives in that area. Mm-hmm. they've been doing it for 4 years now. This year coming up, hopefully, will be the fifth year that they're doing it. So I'm like, ooh, that would make a good podcast interview. And I did the interview. He and I, like, I have not laughed. At that point of the recording, I had not laughed as much as that in a very long time. And it was so fun. It was so interesting. I actually have him. I think I uploaded these. I may or may not have. I had him do a promo for us where it's like, you know, this is Big Ed from Big Ed's Barbecue. You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucka. Nice. He added that on the end himself. I didn't do that.
That's perfect. That's beautiful.
So before Steve takes over, one final question, and this is more from my own neuroses, because I'm like, if we're doing separate things, they need to be separate. Okay. As both a listener and a producer, do you prefer everything on one podcast feed, or would you like to have things on separate feeds? So in the case of GCRN, TuneCast is its own feed. It's not on the Geekcast Radio Network feed of the main show of Geekcast Radio. Movie Week in Review is its own feed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. In terms of, I think Matt and Justin have started wanting to consolidate everything to one spot just because it's easier. It's all about the ease of the audience finding the stuff, right? I think it's kind of both. You want to have it all, like, we want everybody to go to our website, but we want to, hey, okay, you go to our website, all the shows that I produce are right here. Go to the right, all the commentaries are right here. All the Matt does a show, Beyond the Pale Ale, which is all about beer, and he interviews people. He wants it all on one thing there. It's almost like, you know, you wanted to make it neat. I would prefer it to be as long as it's easy for the audience to find. And it seems like if you have them on separate things in one good hot spot, I would prefer it that way.
Cool.
So, was there ever a moment during your whole podcasting duration when you were done podcasting, or thought you were?
Done as in I was going to jail?
You're like, I'm hanging up the microphone, I'm done.
Basically like, fuck you guys, I'm going home.
Oh, no. I don't think we've ever had an argument. I think the most time I ever argue with Justin or Matt, it's not even an argument. It's no, I don't think there's ever been. I'm trying to think. Because we're so, I think the show works because we're so like-minded. We never have any. I'm trying to think of a disagree. I really am. I'm like, did we ever have an argument where I was like, fuck, screw this, I'm out of here. I don't think it ever happens. It's almost like, guys, because we're so enthusiastic about doing certain stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever said, nah, I don't want to do this anymore. We always joke on the show where we're like, this is the last episode of the Simplicity Podcast, and we sit at the beginning of every show. But we're joking. I'm joking. I don't know if they're joking. They don't tell me. but no, I don't think we've ever had an argument. Usually it's we're the opposite, where we're like, what else can we do? Can we do more stuff? Why don't we do this thing? You know, it's never like, I'm done. I don't feel like doing this anymore. And this is like, because it's... it is hard for them to coordinate times. They have a lot of stuff going on time-wise, but they want to do it. From what I've gleaned, they want to do it. They never, and me personally, I've always wanted to do it. I will continue wanting to do it. I want to do more of it. I would love to do it again. Like I told you, I'd do a show every week if it was time conducive, but it's never been a time where I wanted to hang up. No, I don't think so. I'm really trying to think of the last time we said a curse word to each other that wasn't a joke, that didn't have a dick joke involved in it. I don't think it's ever happened.
Well, I can tell you right now, as long as you, at least from my end currently, as long as you can handle the recording and editing, you and I can record every single day. I don't care what it is.
We're going to do the McNeil-Lehrer report. We're going to do a whole bunch of news reports.
I don't know about that. People,
soybean futures. We're doing soybean futures for the rest of time.
No. It's not soybean futures because that's in the past. This is orange juice futures.
Orange. There we go. Trading Places style. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. Beaks, whatever happened to him?
Oh boy! So what kids, Trading Places was a movie with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
So, coming up in December on Studio 2009, we're going to be Trading Places with DJ Valentine.
Yeah, we'll get rid of Mike and.
Hey.
I'm just playing. So what differences do you see in podcasting versus being on the radio?
Podcasting, being on the radio. Language, first off. Time, because radio seems like it's just ad, you know.
The box, yeah.
Yeah, we started doing the thing where we joke about that. Justin does this thing where it's the Simplistic Reviews podcast is not sponsored by, and we just make up something like granola bars or something, Nature Valley granola bars or whatever. That's radio. Radio is ad time and stuff like that. Podcasting is more intimate. You're in the conversation. Radio is like, hey, we're back, and then we're out here. We're back. It's like snippets. Where a podcast, it's like you're sitting on the couch with these guys. You're in a meeting with a bunch of people. They're not going away for about an hour and a half. You can actually enjoy the hosts. And radio, it's like it's almost like a flyby.
I want to give a disclaimer to this because I have several friends in radio. I think we all do. But I have several friends in radio, and I don't want that question to come off as us throwing radio under the bus. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about radio is the audience changes every hour. Buddy Jesse Raz, who does the morning show at the local Louisville, Kentucky station, 106.9 Play. I've had him on for several episodes on Geekcast Radio. And the one thing he said about it was, even though you have to repeat certain things like the news stories and that kind of thing, you have to find a slightly different way to bring each one of them up each hour. And then you get, you know, the same people that are listening at 6 a.m. are not going to be the same people listening at 9 a.m.
It's uber hard. Radio is difficult.
I couldn't do it. I could not do it.
I prefer podcasting because it's easier. I can sit down and mull over a subject. And I don't have to worry about that. They have to worry about 5 billion things at once. They're on a clock. They got to go to break at a certain time. It's crazy. So yeah, I'm not saying it to demean what they're doing.
I just wanted to
I agree with you. They're like air traffic controllers, man. They're essentially doing a whole bunch of stuff, and they got to make sure they're on top of their crap. It's almost like I don't know how they can relax doing it. To me, it seems like a non-relaxing environment.
It's
especially
from when
you got to get to read the copyright. You got to make sure you don't crap on the ad people, and it's a lot of stuff. I would love to do it, try it, but I have a feeling that I would come away still with what I feel, which is podcasting is better because it's just less, you know, craziness going on.
It's more organic for podcasting. And the thing of it is the whole reason, besides the fact that I had nothing but time on my hands in 2008, the whole reason why I wanted to start podcasting, and I've said this before plenty of times, I grew up listening to morning radio shows were my go-to. I never really listened to anything like drive time radio shows or anything like that, but the morning shows I absolutely loved. And I always wanted to be in that. I always wanted to be in radio. I knew I could never be in radio because of everything that those amazing people do to get the content that they produce done.
For 4 hours. They do a 4 hour show.
4 or 5 hour show. Exactly. Yeah. Sorry, Steve.
No worries. So if you've done any interviews with famous people, which one was your favorite?
God. Matt does the interviews. I never do. I suck at interviews. I can't. I've never. We've done interviews with people. Usually they're like filmmakers, independent filmmakers and stuff. Matt does a lot of people who are. Matt has a feel for it. He's very. I'm the preparer, and Matt is the best ad libber I can think of in terms of conversation wise. So we like, you need to do the interviews. I think I was on a show where we've interviewed somebody and I kind of just sat back and let Matt do it because I'm not good at that. I can have guests on that are in our community, kind of like, you know, people we know and the people who are kind of, but if it's a celebrity, I'm not as cool as you guys. If Kevin Conroy were ever to be on the show, I'd be like, could you just say you're Batman?
I
see. I would freak out. I would just, you know, I'd be fangirling for a very, very long time.
I can say this without hesitation. And I wish I had a clean audio of it. And I wish I may have to call him and ask him to do this again. When my buddy Lupus Convoy, he used to be on the, I don't know if he's still on it, I haven't listened in a while. He used to be on the TFW 2005 podcast. And he and I did the Secret Origins podcast for GCRN, where we covered every episode of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Right. We interviewed Phil Lamar.
Oh, God.
And
I would freak out.
I know. But see, here's the thing. I did have a mini freak out because part of that interview
Samurai
at
Jack,
the time,
Samurai Jack, Samurai Jack. I would just keep saying Samurai Jack over and over in my head. Every word out of my mouth would be, so Samurai Jack and Samurai
and
Jack
and
Samurai,
the best I wouldn't Green be Lantern.
Green Lanterns, Green Lantern, Martian Manor. So Samurai Jack. I couldn't. I would not be good at that. I'd be like, Matt, please take this one. I can't.
So the freak out on my part is I didn't think he was going to do this. But at the time when we did the interview, I believe Transformers Animated was still on air on Cartoon Network. I don't think it had left air yet. I'd have to look at the actual date of when we did the interview with Phil. We asked him about him voicing Jazz in Transformers Animated.
Right.
And I asked him, so did the producers want you to do your own thing, or did they want you to do Scatman or whatever? He goes, oh, well, if you do Scatman, and he goes into a Scatman impression. I'm like, holy shit, Scatman's alive? What? I didn't say that, but that was my internal. I'm like, wait a minute. Hong Kong Fooey's behind my chair. Literally, the dude sounded just like Scatman Crothers. And I nearly lost all of it. I lost almost everything. Like, I almost interrupt him. That's why I want to get him back, to get him to do the line. Because he basically goes, in Scatman's voice, he goes, Megatron, you're going down. And I'm like, oh my God, that is so awesome.
I got this thing, man. I can't. They say never meet your hero. Like, I had a chance to, like, my favorite sports athlete of all time, I mentioned him already, is Dwayne Wade. I had a chance to meet him one day, and I was like, no. I don't want to be, because I wouldn't be able to. I'd be like, Dwayne Wade. I wouldn't be able to, like, get it out of my head. So when it comes to celebrities, I kind of like, you know what? Yeah, I just keep that little bit of distance, because I don't know what the hell would happen. I might black out and be crying. I'd be like, oh, Phil Lamar, I remember the episode of Samurai Jack when you're fighting the Beatles. And I don't want to have to have that happen. And Phil Lamar call security on me. I don't want that to happen.
Oh, talk about calling security. I thought Maurice LaMarche was going to fly to Louisville and kill me. I'm not kidding. So for those people listening to this episode of Studio 2009, for those new people that have not listened to our other shows in the last 11 or so, 12 or so years, back in 2009, I think it was, Optimus Solo and I got a chance to interview Mr. Maurice LaMarche, voice of the Brain from Pinky and the Brain. Mm-hmm. He's done a whole bunch of other things. He's on Futurama. He's on all these other things. And Kevin had asked him the question, what is your favorite type of voice acting to do? Animation, video games, this, that, and the other thing. And his response was, video games is interesting because it's you in a room just talking to yourself. And he, off the side, we did not prompt him for this at all. He said, I just get out of a session of voicing Mr. Freeze for Batman Arkham City. Oh, and we're like, can you do the voice for us?
Please, he goes, do the voice. Not. Do the voice.
Like, sadly, I can't because of NDA.
Oh.
We edited that. I had Steve edit that put it online.
I had no idea.
Oh, really? I don't even remember editing.
You edited this. I had no idea what was going on. I knew you talked to him, but I had no idea. Like,
I don't even remember editing the damn thing.
See, I was working, and I get out of work, and then later that night, somebody listened to the episode. And then it popped up on joystick.com and Kotaku and IGN, and wow. It started popping up everywhere. And I'm
as soon
like,
as it hit IGN, we made it.
And I was like, what just happened? I was reading it, and it says, you know, on the Geekcast Radio Network, Maurice LaMarche said that he's playing Mr. Freeze in Arkham City, and I was like, what? And then I like messaged Mike, and I'm like, did you see what's going on here?
And I was like,
everywhere. It's funny.
Like, oh my God, I'm dead. We're never going to get another interview ever again. I'm like, oh my God, I have to call his agent. Oh my God, I have to email him. Oh my God. 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 I'm like, the brain is going to come and
you're gonna start
just
doing Orson Welles on your phone.
He's going to turn me into a pea in the middle of July. I was like, freaking out. He's going to Owen Davey and me.
He's going to go, you have a wife or a girlfriend, because I'm going to find her and I'm going to hurt her. He's going to do that to you. He's going to call you on the phone.
Don't do that.
Sorry. Again, celebrities, man, they freak me out. they freak me out. I mean, I've met a couple that are like, after like the initial shock I go through, I can like, you know, roll with it. But in terms of for a show, I don't think I have the professionalism, I would say, to get through it. That's why we give it to Matt, because Matt has met a bunch of – he's interviewed a couple of celebrities and done a great job. And, like, I've been, like, listening back to it. I'm like, how the hell did you not freak out? I think he interviewed what's his name? Bob, the guy that does the horrible movies, Late Night – I forget his name.
Movie Bob?
Yeah. Not Movie Bob. No. The guy, the Joe Bob Briggs. And I'm like, I remember that when I was, he's been doing that since I've been like 10 years old. So I can only imagine like sitting there, like talking to that guy. I'm like, man, how did you get through? And he just sounds so calm. I was like, I couldn't be that calm. I would just be like, yeah. And I don't want to ever have that. I wouldn't have nothing to post if that was my interview with me hyperventilating.
Well, like we've talked to quite a few different people, and some of my favorite, like the one that I was just like, like, holy crap, was like David Kay, and I've gotten to talk to him twice, which has been awesome.
Right.
And like Ian James Corlett, like Beast Wars actors. And
right.
I've gotten the chance to talk to Rob Paulsen, John DeLancey, Kevin Conroy, Lauren Lester.
Kevin Conroy, I don't know what would happen. I would probably wake up in a prison cell. If I ever walk up to Kevin, like, I'd be like, oh, what did I do? What happened? I'd black out.
That one was pretty epic, to be honest. Like, and we got some like pretty down to earth, pretty good conversation with him, and Lauren Lester for that matter, and Rob and Neil Ross. Like, those guys were pretty much class acts. Like on the show, like that was awesome. One of the podcasts I had to take a long time to edit was the John DeLancey one, and it was just because there was a lot of awkward pauses in between things.
Right.
Because it was me and Kevin kind of running it, and Mike was recording the episode, like, on mute, and we're talking to him, and then we would get, like, a couple of one- or two-word answers occasionally, and I'm like, I have to edit this later.
I mean, you're talking to Q, so it's like...
So we were nervous, like, as it was, because we're talking to Q, and we're like, hey, you know, blah, 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 and we're just, like, bringing up part of his IMDb thing, and he's like, yeah, I did that, like... And I was like, okay, he is cute. Like, but
he's a big guy. I've seen, those type of guys seem like they're just so like not affected by the effect they have on people. Like he seems like he doesn't really, not say care, but he doesn't know how much that character influenced so many freaking people. That's why I'm like, Kevin Conroy is that for me. Like, he is my Batman. So this is the embodiment of my childhood next to me. I would be like, I would literally black out if I met Kevin Conroy or God forbid, Mark Hamill. I don't know what the fuck would happen with Mark Hamill.
I think we'd all lose it if we met Mark Hamill. I've met
two hours of conversations on two different subjects. Okay. All right. I'm finally done with Star Wars, Mark Hamill. Now let's get into Joker.
I would just love to sit there and just argue with him in Joker to Joker voice.
Oh my God, dude. Don't look. Hey, if I could get Mark Hamill to do Joker to Joker with me, I mean, this would be fantastic.
Well, like, and the closest I'm ever going to get to that is like getting to do two different character voices on the podcast that I'm the kids radio program I'm on. Like, it's I actually did physically get to argue with myself in multiple scenes as different characters, so that was great. They were like, "Okay, dude, you're nuts. You have something to be recorded separately on different tracks so I can edit this later." They're like, "Cause I don't." They're like, "You're flipping in so quickly on these different voices. Like, I can't separate them and get better takes out of different things."
It's like that. It's like that old Frank Welker story that Dan Gilvezan and everybody else tells about how Frank Welker was doing two different voices at the same time. And the engineer was like, nope, we got to go back. Somebody overlapped. And they're like, "No, it's just Frank." Oh, okay. It's just Frank talking to himself. Okay, Frank, we got it.
Literally having a conversation with himself.
Well, and the funny thing was, is I've done this before. Like, and I used to practice when I worked at the car lot. I used to do like four characters arguing amongst each other, and they were usually like Megatron, Starscream, Scourge, and like Gollum. And So I would just sit there and just argue back and forth. And so I was pretty practiced at it. And what's funny is when I was reading the scripts for this specific season of the show, I got a regular character that's just my regular voice, and then I was doing like a Beast Wars Megatron-esque voice, and then I stumbled onto somebody else's lines, like without even thinking about it, and just created a voice on the spot and just started talking in all three. And they're like, "Those aren't your lines, dude." And I was like, "Oh."
Sorry. Got carried away there.
Yeah. So.
All right. What advice do you have for new and as well as veteran podcasters in the art of podcasting?
If it's a chore, don't make it a chore, because it's going to come out in your, it's going to come out in the show. To me, like I say, when we do the show, to me, it's joy. It's a lot of work. But to me, it's a, you hear this all the time, it's a labor of love, but it literally is a labor of love, where I'm like, if I make a show and I put it together and I listen back and it's like really good, I'm like, oh, it's satisfying. Don't make it a chore. Make it something you love. Use it as an outlet for love, not for, God, I got to get up and do this thing. And because it's always, you can always, for me, I don't know, maybe I got some weird power. I can always tell when somebody's like, doesn't want to be there. Very like, you know, be enthusiastic about your product, because if I'm a listener, I want the host to be enthusiastic. I don't want them to be, I got other stuff to do. Well, whatever. You know, that is the rub. Always make it fun. Make it you're creating something. So enjoy the love of that. That's such, you know, to me, that is what keeps me going on the show, is because every time I do it, and sometimes I have shows that are better than others, like, oh, that show wasn't that great, but I can improve it on this way. But it's always fun for me, because I'm creating something out of nothing. There's no yesterday this idea wasn't here, and now it exists forever and in the ether of the internet until the internet gets destroyed by, you know, coronavirus or something. But yeah, it's essentially I always stress to everybody, make sure if it's something you love, it's not work, it'll come through your show. If you love it, then we will love it too.
Absolutely. So where can the people find your show?
SimplisticReviews.net is where everything is. Like we were talking about before, the website, you can find our Twitch channel. We can find our YouTube stuff on that website. But if you just want to go through iTunes, you can search for Simplistic Reviews and we'll pop up, or Stitcher or TuneIn or any of that stuff. We're on there.
Steve, any final thoughts, comments, questions before I close it out?
No, I just want to thank you, DJ, for taking the time to hang out with us here. Pleasure as always.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Have you on my show, and always a pleasure to be on your show. Steve has been like on our show slowly, like quietly slurking in our show.
Steve is stalking the simplistic reviews.
He's always like, "What is that voice? Oh, that's Steve somewhere. There's a little hint of Steve always in the show."
When he broke out the Elmo, I'm like, I've known you for X number of years, and how the hell have I not known you've been able to do Elmo? I had never heard him do Elmo ever.
And when he goes, I can do an Elmo. I'm like, okay, let me hear it. Perfect. Fuck. I'm done. finish the segment for me.
That was a lot of fun, though, doing Elmo as a mob boss.
Doing Elmo, Elmo is on in that sketch is based off of Al Capone. So I wrote him as Al Capone.
Well, it is funny because I can get into his headspace of Elmo. Like, I can get into Megatron's headspace, I can get into the Joker's, I can get into Gollum's, and I can get into like Elmo's pretty much effortlessly. Like, I know exactly their cadence and how they talk and like how to manipulate sentences. So it's pretty funny when I get to do that.
He got into Elmo's headspace as Al Capone. That's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, boy.
Come over here, right. Bird. I'm going to kill you.
On that note, thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other posts. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also use any other podcatching client you use. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this as we are a new show. We need the feedback. Follow us on Twitter. The network is at Geekcast Radio. The show is It's Studio 2009. My Twitter is TFG and Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
And DJ?
Trying to be DJV.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork, and you can also search out Studio 2009 as well as Simplistic Reviews. As DJ said, they're everywhere. They just grow.
They're everywhere.
That's right. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips.
This is DJ.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon. Catch you later, folks.
In a world, there, I said it, happy.